Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. I offer my obeisances unto Satchidananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who is transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Shakti Swarupa. He is a sixth follower of the Goswami headed by Sri Rupa, Rupanuga Varaya. That's the pranam mantra for Bhakti Vinod Thakur, whose appearance we are celebrating today. He was born on September 2nd in 1838. And I thought today I would just read from one of his writings, which is translated by His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, called Sri Sri Godrum Kalpa Tavi, the Desire Tree, Grove of Godrum. Godrum is one of the islands of Navadvip. This appeared in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Namhatta newsletter. Originally, it was republished by Srila Prabhupada when he was a Vanaprastha as part of the Gaudiya Patrika, which Prabhupada edited. So in this, what we see is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision of the Hare Krishna movement. And you can see that ISKCON is a direct outgrowth of this vision. And he uses a metaphor of Namhatta, the marketplace of the holy name, but you see it's not a marketplace, it's a big multinational corporation, is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing. So he is actually the person who conceived the Krishna consciousness movement in its modern form. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know this, he received a Western education and although there were Vaishnavas in his family, he was not raised a Vaishnava, but then later on he became a devotee. He relates the troubles he had just trying to locate a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita at that time. Because at that time, the Vaishnavas, the real followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were practically invisible. And various other people who claimed to be following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu but were not, all kinds of different groups, the Owls, the Bowls, the Garanga Nagari, the Prakriti Sahajiyas, many, many different people claim to be following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but actually they were deviated in some way or another, most of them by not following the strict principles, regular principles. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gradually located a group of extreme renunciates who were practicing strict Krishna consciousness and learned from them, from Jagannath Das Babaji especially, whom he accepted as Shiksha Guru and through whom we actually trace our lineage. And at that time, that pure devotional service was just practiced by this small group of Vairagis, that is, Babajis. They weren't preachers. They were recluses, almost. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur then thought of a way, in an organized, rational way, of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the whole world as a coherent, unified, missionary organization. That was his idea. How to do it. He wrote in English. He realized that English had to be the medium. He could see the future of instruction in Krishna, and of Krishna consciousness, and he saw that it should be a modern organization like some kind of corporation. So what you see is the seeds of this idea here in this newsletter of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, by the way, this is an excerpt from another writing. He writes, this is sometime in the late 19th century. He says, "My dear pure devotees, the preaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vaishnava Dharma, eternal religious principles of pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the real life and soul of the entire universe and the supreme transcendental treasure. Nowadays, many religions are being propagated with a lot of fanfare and zeal from country to country, but all of these religions contain errors and are incomplete. When all of these religions will wane in the future, then they will hide within the walls of their fortresses, and at that time the transcendental eternal religion will advance and become established in every country of the world. That joyful time for that to happen has now come upon us. Now everyone is one united family, work for the growth and development of Sri Namhata. Now all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and traveling preachers should take the transcendental merchandise of the holy name of Krishna on their heads and go to every state in India, Bhartvarsha, and preach all the glories of the Lord of our heart, Sri Gauranga, and his merciful holy name." So here, now this was published in a series in his newsletter, this scheme, Sri Namhata, that is to say, the marketplace of the holy name, which is located in Sri Navadvip Dham, that is to say, wherever and whenever a part of the Dham is manifested. And then he describes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes different principal characters and the materials that appear in this marketplace of the holy name. First, the bandar, or storehouse. Where is the storehouse of the holy name? That is the Srimad Bhagavatam. The natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, the reservoir of the nectar of the Upanishads. Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the storehouse in this scheme of things. Then there are people, the Mula Mahajan, that is to say, the principal trader, is Sri Advaita in Bengal, Rupa and Sanatan in Vrindavan, Swarup Dhamana, Ramananda Roy in Jagannath Puri. Then the storekeeper is Gadadhar Pandit. These are the storekeepers: Goswami, Srimati Vishnupriya Thakurani, Srimati Janava Thakurani, Raghunath Das Dottach in Bengal, those three. And then in Vrindavan is Raghunath Das Goswami, and in Jagannath Puri, Sri Paramananda Puri. Then he gives some additional posts. We'll skip the names of the devotees. I won't read the Bengali words, but they're the saleskeeper, the treasurer, record keeper and accountant, nourishing parties, currency examiner, the broker, the weigher, the director, and peon or bearers, the empowered bearers, and the customers. Now the list of materials to be purchased. There are six materials to be purchased. That's what's for sale in this Namhata. One, the holy name. Two, the holy name related to the Lord's form. Three, the holy name related to the Lord's qualities. Four, the holy name related to the Lord's pastimes. Five, the holy name related to rasa with the Lord. And six, the holy name imbued with the full potency of all transcendental motions in pure devotional service. These are six successive revelations in sequence of the holy name. First there's realization of the holy name, and then through that the Lord's form, then his qualities, then his pastimes, then the rasa, and then full prema. This is how gradually the holy name unfolds itself one after another. The holy name is compared to sugar candy juice in relation to the Lord's form, to gur. It says boil down some more. In relation to the Lord's qualities is compared to brown sugar. The holy name related to the Lord's pastimes is compared to white sugar. The holy name's ecstatic mellows, rasa, compared to sugar candy. And the holy name of the Lord imbued with full potency of all transcendental ecstatic devotional emotions is compared to pure refined sugar candy. Next, rules of payment. That is to say, what you're going to pay with. Pennies, quarters, half dollars, dollars, and gold coins are not the real currency to purchase the commodities sold in the marketplace of the holy name. Transcendental faith is the only currency acceptable. That's the only way you can buy the holy name, transcendental faith. If anyone tries to purchase the above commodities with ordinary material currency, or in other words, if anyone wants to purchase the holy name by material desire, he is making a great mistake. No one should try to purchase the name by material attempt, for his effort will simply be a waste of time. May I have some water? Now he gives a description of the transcendental currency in different denominations. There are six of these. One, Shraddha, faith, which is compared to one paise. Let's say a hundredth of a rupee. Two, Nishta, steady devotee, steady devotion, Nishta. Which is compared to two annas, an eighth of a silver coin. One anna is a sixteenth of a rupee. Okay, this is the old division. Still in the country of Bengal, people talk about annas. So two annas are an eighth of a silver coin. One anna is 1/16. By which the name related to the Lord's form can be purchased. That is to say, nishta. Ruchi, taste for the name, is four annas, or a fourth of a silver coin, by which the name related to the Lord's form and qualities can be purchased. Asakti, attachment, compared to half a silver coin, by which the name related to the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes can be purchased. Bhava, or rati, preliminary ecstasy, that's a whole silver coin by which the name related to transcendental emotion can be purchased. And then prema, pure love of God, that's compared to a gold coin by which the name of the Lord imbued with all transcendental potencies of the Lord's ecstatic devotion can be purchased. So this list, Shraddha, Nishta, Ruchi, and so on, they compare to that. That's in that sequence given by Rupa Goswami. Ado Shraddha, Tato Sadhu Sango, Bhajana Kriya, Anartini Ruchi, then Shraddha, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. So in each of these, there's a successive revelation of the holy name of the Lord. Okay, so that's the currency. Those are the goods, those are the currency. Now, you got to understand the whole scheme of this corporation. It's called a marketplace, you see, but it's a big outfit. It goes all over. There are three kinds of branches of the greater marketplace of the holy name. See, so there's the greater marketplace. The first one is the bazaar. These are sites associated with Vaishnava Acharya pastimes of the Lord. Those places where there are with many temples and many devotees. He gives various names, right? So those are the bazaars, big places, festival places. Then the store or shop. This would be compared, I think, to your ordinary temple in ISKCON. The bazaars are places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, or even places in the West that are big places of pilgrimage, what New Vrindavan was once, maybe will be again like that. Then the store or shop, a place where a single shopkeeper or businessman sits down, sits and places wares out for sale is called a store. There are two kinds of stores, where the storekeeper takes the goods on credit from the chief trader and takes his profit after selling and paying back the amount owed, and when the storekeeper purchases the goods with his own capital and takes his profit directly. So there's stores with two kinds. You purchase the goods on credit or by your own capital. Then, the third kind of branch is the traveling peddler or salesman. This type of salesman takes the goods from the chief trader, either on credit or by paying cash, and putting the goods on his head goes from village to village, from road to road, selling his wares. He does not keep his goods at any particular place. However, he generally sells his transcendental wares within a particular specified area. So he's a traveling salesman with a territory. Right? Then there's some more personalities mentioned, roles. The sales agent or broker. Those who bring customers to the trader and show customers the goods is called a sales agent or broker. Right? So anyone who brings customers, people to the temple or to a traveling peddler, that's a broker. And shows them the goods. Customers. These are the human population of the world. Those who have money can purchase the commodities for sale. There is one secret, however. Goods sold in the market which were purchased with false money also become counterfeit. The customers should see that all sales personnel carry the identifying mark of the chief trader, and only after being satisfied that the salesman is bona fide and authorized should he make his purchase. One should not fall prey to cheating salesmen. So that's a danger. The identifying tag of the chief trader will be Gauranga's name. Then there's a comment here on the counterfeit bills, counterfeit money. The devotee who, in his private conversation, always discusses with great faith the transcendental qualities of devotional service, free from all material desires, free from the desires for material knowledge and the results of fruit of activity, has got the finance with which to purchase the name. When there is discussion of other desires, that is, karma and jnana, there are only false notes. That is to say, counterfeit money. Bad bills. If one tries to give a false note in exchange for the name, he gets the counterfeit holy name, namaba, so the shadow of the name. The trader's goods are pure and unblemished, but according to the condition of the customer, those unpolluted and pure goods, the holy name, may become a mere shadow of the name. Okay. Here are some details on Namhatta. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is himself the holy name, and the holy name's market has arisen at Sri Navadvip Dham by his causeless mercy. The main branch of the market is it Sri Navadvip, and Sri Advaita is in charge. The second branch is at Brajadam, that's Vrindavan, under the control of Sri Rupan Sanatan Goswami. Third branch is at Purushottama Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, where Sri Swarup Damodar and Sri Ramananda Roy are in charge. Under the control of the above markets, Sri Virabhadra Prabhu, the son of Nityananda, Sri Achyutananda and his brother, Srinivasacharya Prabhu and Sri Ramachandra Thakur Prabhu have set up various markets. The shops and salesmen of all villages and areas are under the control of the above bazaars. Taking the goods from the markets, bazaars, and shops, the salesmen will put the market on their heads and sell their wares from village to village. In this way, markets, bazaars, shops, and salesmen will operate everywhere at all times. Whenever and wherever a pure devotee accepts birth, he takes up and continues the pastime of this marketing of the holy name. So it will go on many generations. Through the will of the chief trader, within the Sri Navadweep, at Sri Godrum Dweep, at Surabhi Kunj, at Surabhu Kunj, that main market has been established. From that place, all the pure devotees have taken up the work of the hutta. Bhakti Vinod invites all persons locally or from foreign countries. See, this is, he's writing in his little newspaper here, right? Bhaktivinod invites all persons locally or from foreign countries to become shopkeepers in their states or to become traveling salesmen. Those interested should write to Surabhu Kunj's chief preacher, giving details of the name, address, and desire to participate. One will get the authorization certificate as well as the merchandise of the chief trader. One must, however, follow the rules and regulations of the chief trader of the market. So here Bhaktivinod Thakur, while he's setting this up, it's not just a vision of the future, but he's also instituting it at the time of his publication. Special announcement. Those who receive the special certificate of authorization from the chief trader, namely the merchants, shopkeepers, and traveling salesmen, should deliver their goods, Krishna name, along with the chief trader's identifying mark, Gauranga's name. Any salesman setting up in a village should sell his merchandise, raising a transcendental flag with the above-mentioned identifying mark. Merchandise should be given after checking the value of the customer's currency. One should be careful that this is not given without receiving the proper payment. Goods given without proper payment will naturally turn counterfeit. Each and every merchant, storekeeper, etc., should send a full details of their sales activity every year before the anniversary festival of Sri Sriman Mahaprabhu. They should clearly write every place they are intending to visit in the coming year, as well as the festivals they will observe, and those to whom they sell their goods, those they will convince to take up the holy name. So there's the origin of the annual GBC Mayapur meeting, right there. That's what he says. Every year before Mahaprabhu's birth, everyone should send in their report of what they've done in the past and what they will do in the future. So that's where it comes from. Okay? Part two. In the first part were written the names of the various employees who are playing a part in the Lord's transcendental pastimes. It is said that a rare, fortunate person with the eyes of bhakti can see those pastimes in corresponding market even today. So they're going on. Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, they're all participating. So this is not just goes through time, but it's eternal. So all the previous participants in this enterprise are still actually carrying on. Now, he mentions some more posts. The employees for posts mentioned below will be appointed in accordance with the order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. First, 10 leaders, panchayat. A panchayat means, panchayat is like a village council in India, or a village board, called a panchayat. So 10 of these who are representatives of Nityananda Prabhu, who are the chief employees. Whatever they jointly decide and announce will be accepted as none different from the orders of the Lord. So there's the idea of this management by a council, a collegial body. And whatever they decide, that will be none different. Then there's another, Jarudara. What is a Jarudara? It's not translated here. Sweeper, I think. Yeah, sweeper. He will keep the market clean. He helps the other employees and workers at their meetings during discussion and the performance of their responsibilities. Then there's the market reporter. Informs everyone of all relevant information and current news in regards to the market affairs. Then the operator of the scales, who takes the goods out of the shop, weighs them, and gives them to the customer. Then the keeper of the keys. He keeps all the keys of the storeroom and the market under his care. He opens the sale with his keys, and at the end of the day, he closes the sales with his keys. Kuli takes the goods with great effort and lifts them onto the customer's vehicle. There are many such bearers in the market. And the Chakidar, the watchman, a security officer, keeps watch over the market and catches thieves and other antisocial elements. We need a Chakidar around here. Bookkeeper writes down expenditure and sales of all commodities. And this way, Bhaktivinoda goes on to describe 20 employees, inspector, peon, light giver, I guess it's the guy who lights the lamps, the ghat protector, the storekeeper, traveling salesman, wholesaler, ferryman, barber, washerman, broker, and tailor. These are all different employees that he describes. For the above 20 posts, there's a qualification and a disqualification. Qualification gives the right to chant the name. Disqualification means no rights to chant the name. The qualified can take any of the above mentioned posts. Qualification, whether Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Lord, or whether sannyasi, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, if one has pure devotion, he can become an employee of the Namhata and take up any of the posts. He says, eradication of all material desire, freedom from jnana and karma, and favorable service to Krishna comprise pure devotion. According to the devotion in one's heart, one has qualification, and according to the devotion, there will be freedom from disqualification. Disqualifications. Listed. Those persons materially engrossed, lazy, selfish, irreligious, devoid of enthusiasm, atheistic, desirous of obtaining mukti, eager to do material welfare work, tending to dry mental speculation, argumentative, ambitious for material prestige, controlled by lamentation, illusion, anger, greed, intoxication, those who are cheaters, liars, enemies of religion, illusion by material learning and material culture are disqualified from becoming employees of the Namhata. It says here, a man's present, not previous character, is to be considered. To whatever extent a person can destroy his disqualifications, he obtains shelter of pure devotional service and receives qualification. 2. For a grahastha or vanaprastha to go to prostitutes, women other than one's wedded wife, or engage in unrestricted sex life with one's own wife is forbidden. Brahmacharis and sannyasis are absolutely restricted from association with any woman. If any man is guilty of the offenses, then he is disqualified from becoming an employee of the Namhata. A note, renounced Vaishnavas of the Babaji ashram are within the category of sannyas. Those married but pure in devotion are accepted first as Vaishnavas, then as grihasthas. 3. The person who calls himself a giver of the name and requests some kind of material benefit from the recipient is disqualified. Givers of the name freed from false ego may perform their respective duties according to Varnashram system to maintain themselves and their family and do not lose their qualification. The guru who gives a mantra to his disciple and accepts a voluntary offering from him for the benefit of the disciple's spiritual life is not disqualified. 4. Women who are pure devotees can become traveling women salesmen for distributing the holy name amongst other women, but they cannot give the name to men. According to time, place, and circumstances, however, with great care and caution, a mature woman can distribute the name to men. Apart from elderly women, apart from elderly women or very young girls, men preachers should avoid discussion with other women. Okay? Archa Viryaha practices and behavior. 1. As far as possible, food in the mode of goodness for maintenance of health is to be taken. Causing pain to another person's body for maintaining one's own body is not proper. One should always maintain this vision. To protect one's body, there's no restriction from taking medicine and treatment. 2. Preachers should maintain themselves through honest means. Those householders who are capable of working have no right to beg for their material subsistence, but brahmacharis and sannyasis should beg to maintain their body and should not take up any other means as an alternative. Wherever the preacher goes in the course of his activities, he should always be alert as how to increase the preaching of the holy name at that particular place. Whatever ashram under the Varnashram system one is in, a person should follow its particular rules. Considering that place, time, and person, behavior without undue pompousness, which keeps one's healthy, is very good. One may use vehicles, staff, that is a stick, umbrella, etc., as long as they are helpful and useful. When possible, they should be given up. No unnecessary paraphernalia. 4. One should follow the rules of cleanliness and sanitation in the toilet, which are practicable, and healthy, and this will not obstruct one's qualification to distribute on behalf of the Namhatta. However, one should be very careful that in this bathroom behavior that no foul play takes place. That is an obstruction to pure devotion. 5. Each Namhatta employee should practice chanting the holy name as much as he can and have spontaneous affection for it. One should introduce himself as the most humble servant of their lordship, Sri Sri Gauranga Nityananda Advaita Gadadhar Srivas. He should try to decorate himself with meekness, mercy, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for all living beings. The preaching of the name shall be performed with kol, that is madanga, and kartals, accompanied by favorable discourses and public lectures. At the time of chanting, one may dance in ecstasy. The singing of the glories of the holy name and dancing in ecstasy should correspond to the devotee's spontaneous emotion, not just according to the tempo, beat, and tune. One should avoid excessive preoccupation with musical tune and beat. One should avoid excessive preoccupation with musical tune and beat. That understood? It's not music for music's sake. In other words, you just learn it to practice, get a good beat and a tune, but not to become like virtuosos or super artistic for its own sake. Yeah? This doesn't say, it says excessive preoccupation. excessive preoccupation. You know, like you're going to become a great madanga player and spend all your time practicing madanga or practicing bhajan. So, you know, to keep a beat is not excessive, you know. To go ching, 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 ching takes all of 5 minutes to learn. That's not excessive preoccupation, you know. So that's what it says. Excessive preoccupation with musical tune and beat. Generally, if you don't know how to play the instruments, you shouldn't play them. If you know how, then you can play them. Because, he says, the music and tune should have an effect on the hearts of the listeners similar to the action of borax in the melting of gold. I have no idea what the action of borax is in the melting of gold. I assume it makes it pure or something, you know, or faster or something. Do you know the chemistry? It cleans it, yeah. There we go. So it has a cleansing effect. So it should have a purifying effect. It is good to express one's feelings for the Lord through song and dance according to one's natural rising of transcendental emotion. The behavior of irreligious people in displaying these emotions is not required. It should be avoided. 7. Employees of the Nam Hut should carry on the preaching in the mood of pure devotion. One should never preach the paths of jnana and karma, dry renunciation, etc. Offering all respects to others, one should in a mood of transcendental mercy request everyone humbly to take up the chanting of the name. Apart from the employees, there are other pious aspirants, such as phats, P-H-A-T-S. I have no idea what a phat is, or pot. Hot. Fakirs, bowls, and others who are seen in the marketplace. These people have the right to perform their own fruitive activities and benefit by the association of the Namhatta. However, Nityananda Prabhu is not responsible for whatever they lack in the pure standard. You know, so these are various other bogus groups, some of whom may chant the holy names. I humbly request that those who are interested in accepting the post of one of the above-mentioned 20 employees of the Namhatta should, after first considering their qualifications and disqualifications, write their esteemed decision to the chief preacher of Saharatkar. Which one's that? Oh, the market reporter at the address mentioned below. Then he signs himself as the sweeper. Right, any questions so far about this? Okay, let's keep going. Part 3. He asked for news. He asked all the people who are now taking place in this marketplace to send reports to the market reporter. Right? That's one thing about what they're doing, where they go. And later on, he prints some of the reports. It's like stuff that we have in Sankirtan newsletter, in ISKCON World Review, and Back to Godhead magazine. This happened, that happened, you know. So he says, why is the sweeper of the Namhatta the signatory of the Godrum Kapatavi newsletter? As the sweeper daily cleans the market, he finds scattered letters here and there. Whatever he finds written in those letters, he gives to the Saradara, the court or the market reporter, to broadcast. Because the information comes from the sweeper, the reporter signs the sweeper's name at the time of publishing. The origin of all these bits of information is known by the chief trader there, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He mentions also, a special note, the sales agent who brings customers to the trader was mentioned in our previous issue. Those agents are all pure Vaishnavas of our Namhatta. Apart from these, there are many well-wishers of the Hatta who are also brokers, but not yet pure Vaishnavas. However, they are assisting the pure Vaishnavas to strengthen the marketplace. Their name shall be entered in the future. So some brokers are pure and some are still contaminated. When they become pure Vaishnavas by the potency of the holy name, they will be mentioned as Namhatta employees. caution. The workers of the Namhata mentioned in the second part should all deal with one another in the mood of true brotherhood. No one should consider another as being less perfect than himself, just as, on a tulsi plant, one does not consider the leaves to be more or less pure according to large or small size. So pure Vaishnava is not to be considered higher or lower according to his wealth, physical strength, material learning, caste, physical appearance, or age. Consideration of high caste, wealth, family, Vaishnava birth, and subsequent behavior of respect, and the subsequent behavior of respect which is extended is simply social and has nothing to do with transcendental life. The consideration of senior and junior amongst God brothers is simply on the basis of how advanced one is in pure devotional service of the Lord. Pure Vaishnavas naturally offer all kinds of respect to other senior Vaishnavas, as well as observing matters of Vaishnava etiquette, respecting to the degree of renunciation of material life. Apart from the above mentioned considerations, pure devotees do not make any other distinction of high or low, and carefully avoid such. Okay, I'm going to skip a few places here. Now an announcement. Whenever any of the Namhat workers, in the course of their ordinary business, visit another village, then at a general place pre-established for the purpose of preaching to give lectures and sing devotional songs for the benefit of the public. There's no verb in that sentence. I don't know what happened. They should establish, I guess whenever they visit on ordinary business, they should also establish some meeting. If this is done, okay, yeah, whenever you go anywhere, he says, any of the workers go in the course of ordinary visit, then they should establish some place to give lectures and sing devotional songs. Just do it. So he says, if this is done, then within a few days, qualified speakers and singers, as traveling salesmen and storekeepers, will be available. In this regard, everyone should take special care. Humble, enthusiastic, learned, and intelligent young people should be taken to a solitary place and taught to lecture and sing. Bit by bit, engage these trained young people in giving lectures in public places, in the markets and other places. An account of any such attempt which is successful should be sent to this newspaper for publication. Then he says, the Christian missionaries who are coming from abroad for the purpose of carrying out religious preaching are paid a salary in return for their work. Therefore, their activities are not selfless, and there is no real auspicious benefit achieved for the work by their activity. Our Lord Nityananda Prabhu's Namhata is not of that nature. Our preachers of the holy name carry the banner of the Lord from village to village in a selfless, dedicated manner, preaching and fulfilling the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This type of preaching of eternal religious principles will spread in a short time, not only the length and breadth of India, but throughout the whole world. The holy sound of Sri Chaitanya's Madanga will be heard, and everyone, whether Brahmana or Malecha, will attain pure devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Hari. And he publishes some notes about what was done. He says, many people have written to the Godruma Kalpatavi requesting a description of certain workers in the second part, namely the barber, washerman, and tailor. What is the exact nature of their duties? He says, the posts of the barber, washer, and tailor are most elevated. Except for highly qualified persons, no one can accept these three positions. That person who can bring lusty, ill-behaved, and dirty persons with messy and unkempt hair to the position of a clean and pure Vaishnava is known as the Namhata barber. A person who can raise someone who, having gone astray, has become contaminated and whose fallen character can be compared to clothes stained with filth and stool, one who can clean and reinstate such a person is called the Namhata washerman. Karma, Gyan, Yoga, and various kinds of Vedic ritualistic activities are compared to separate pieces of cloth, which an expert tailor can join together with the thread of pure devotional truth, the established activities based on perfect and pure devotional principles. That is the activity of a Namhata tailor. And he gives some more kinds of names. And then there's a whole list of various dates with what happened when some sweepers and assistants and flag bearers arrived at a town and they were brought to some place and they had Sankirtan, 1,000 people chanted. And at sunrise there was Kirtan and so on. And preaching activities, devotees made, all these different market reports are coming in. So on. He says, he makes a few notes after this. He says, the glories of the Namhata being revealed in every house depend on the work of the patrolman. Doesn't just clarify that. At the time of Harinam, Bhajan, and Kirtan, we saw that many songs filled with conceptions of materialism, voidism, and sense enjoyment were being sung. This is not to be done in the Namhata. It is only proper to sing songs composed by previous Mahajans or Acharyas, or the songs published by the Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, or of other Vaishnava songs followed in those footsteps. Apart from this, no other songs should be sung. I hope that those in charge of Namhata operations in the areas concerned will keep careful watch in this regard. At many places it is seen that workers of the Namhat get special prasad from the devotees, by which their ability to taste
can prepare the songs with proper verse, melody, and beat, we will print them in the Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala. 5. Those groups which do not discuss pure devotional service and the pure name and simply engage in collecting money should not keep a close connection with the Namhat organization. Otherwise, the glories of the Namhat will be finished. Then there's some more market activities. Then he says, more comment. In the second part of this publication, 20 kinds of workers were mentioned. In addition to those, there are a few others who have been employed. As the preaching of Namhata grows strong, atheist demons who support Kali make many arguments against the Namhata. In order to defeat the atheist Kali and his soldiers, Srinityananda has created a number of new soldiers for the purpose of protecting the transcendental preaching work of the Lord's name. These are the Commander-in-Chief, Pradhan Senapati, that's like a general of the army, chief general. Senapati means general. State commander, Pradesh Senapati, the patrolman, that was mentioned earlier, as well as other workers assisting the above soldiers. The patrolmen work in the villages, while the area commander, the state commander, and the commander-in-chief destroy all the atheistic opinions with scriptures and arguments based on scripture and ultimately establish the glories of chanting the holy name. Rules for patrolmen. Each patrolman dressed in appropriate Vaishnava apparel, will patrol in his designated area doing kirtan with kartals. He will visit each day at least 5 householders and preach the message of Mahaprabhu. 2. He will remain at the householder's place only long enough to preach the order of Sri Chaitanya, and no longer. No sitting down for tea and gossip. He will sing the order of Mahaprabhu in a humble way. No material reward should be asked or accepted from householders. 5. If any householder resorts to any type of rude behavior, the patrolman should satisfy him with sweet words and attention. Under no circumstances should any anger or contempt be brought into the mind. If any person wants to engage in debate with the patrolman should inform the local commander. The patrolman will keep with him a flag or banner of the Namhatta. Those who are beggars and maintain themselves by chanting the holy name are disqualified for becoming patrolmen. No one should desire to get any material reward for doing work for the Namhatta. One should depend for his maintenance on his private job. Flags, banners, and kartals should also be purchased by his own income. In this way, by performing selfless service, he will be able to satisfy the chief merchant, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The rules for commanders. The commanders will establish the principles of pure bhakti by taking assistance of the Vedas and their authorized Smriti and Mimamsa Shastras. 2. The commanders will go from village to village and appoint patrolmen and teach them the formulas if necessary, protect them by giving them instructions filled with bhakti. That's assigned by the Namhatta sweeper, the fallen worthless servant, Sri Kedaranath Bhakti Vinod, Sarabi Kunj, Godum Dreep, Sri Navadvip Dham. That's what we have there. So that's his blueprint for the marketplace of the holy name. Any questions about that? Yeah? The sweeper, he says, he cleans the holy name, keeping it pure and clean. The marketplace keeps it pure and clean. And then he picks up little bits of letters left around and gives them to the announcer or the broadcaster who tells the news. So, sweeper, of course, is always the humblest position. So, represents himself as being humble. Yeah? Yeah, it makes you think, doesn't it?
So that's not good.
Yeah, it would seem so. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I have to talk it over with those band people about this. Because he said that you shouldn't basically make up your own songs unless they are expressive of pure bhakti. And that they have, the beat, melody, and everything is appropriate. For their maintenance. Brahmacharis and sannyasis, traditionally, they maintain themselves by begging. They go out and collect donations. They don't hold down jobs. Huh? No. They shouldn't. Yeah. They get the same amount?
Yes.
What do you mean the same amount? Of what? What are you talking about? Is that a salary, you mean?
Yes.
When are I supposed to get a salary?
You do.
Well, it's wrong. Huh? Well, it says they're not supposed to get a salary. They could get, they're supposed to get what they need for maintenance. And if you give them money to spend for Krishna service, that's another thing. But it's not the standard. Well, it says this, that a hostler shouldn't get salaries either. That's what he says here. Like the Christian missionaries? That's even farther out, isn't it? That's what he says. Well, of course, yeah, a lot of things are not always true in every temple. Not always true that in every temple people are following the four regular principles and chanting 16 rounds and rising from Mangal Arati. You may have noticed. Here and there, these things happen. So, I mean, our purpose is not to discuss all the anomalies in the Dharma right now, but we can go on like that. Anyway, this is his vision, and sometimes there's some adaptation is there for time, place, and circumstances. But basically, the idea is not to be preaching the holy name is not supposed to be one's means of livelihood. It shouldn't be fruitive work. I mean, I know that NISKCON will review for a while Long Island Temple. They were advertising a salary for a temple president, you know. And most people I knew thought it was a preposterous idea, you know. But maybe it's catching on. Anything else? I want to mention, I mentioned that we needed a chakradar. I want to say something that's... not everyone is here, but I guess the word will get out. I don't know if everyone knows this, but for some time now, maybe a month or so, money is being stolen from our two donation boxes on a sort of steady basis. It's been noticed that there have been $5 bills or $10 bills, and then, you know, the next day they're gone, which apparently means that somebody is going in, you know, with a stick or something, with something sticky on the end, and reaching down there and actually... taking the Lord's money right out of the donation box and also out of Prabhupada's donation box. Well, since it's been discovered, we're naturally going to do some things to make it impossible. But it certainly is a quick way to go to hell, you know, doing this. I mean, I'm sure it may well, very well be an inside job. I mean, you know, this has periodically happened over about the 20 years I've been a devotee. Very so often somebody starts, you know, stealing, not only for the money that devotees will leave around, but also sometimes they'll actually do something like this. And sometimes it's, you know, somebody actually living in the temple that will do that. Anyone who's living in the temple and doing this probably has got some philosophy figured out by where it's all right. What I say right now, it's wrong. And any philosophy that says it's all right is Maya. This money is for Prabhupada's samadhi. This money here goes directly to the deities, and there's no justification whatsoever anybody has for sneaking in and stealing it. I mean, if you know, the penalty for stealing for a Brahmin is so heavy karmically, so the penalty for taking the Lord's personal money is really, you know, awful. So it is going on, and if anybody discovers it or finds out about it, don't hesitate to let me know or Sadaruchi know about it. Because I mean, anyone who lets somebody keep on going on like this is just really like helping them destroy themselves at a very rapid rate. So I'm very sorry to have to bring this up, but I mean, I really think it's taking Kali Yuga too far myself to do this. And I know it's Kali Yuga, but that's really tearing it. You know, when actually somebody comes and lives in a temple as a devotee and then steals the money out of the deity box. I mean, that's pretty heavy. Yeah.
I'm not surprised I went to the temple. So I'm writing a story in Buddhist.
Well, people have been here before then. It's usually locked up at night. Yeah, that's another thing. I doubt that somebody's coming from the outside and doing this. I doubt it very seriously. It's usually locked up. This happened. It may be that somebody's sneaking in from the outside and very carefully taking money away. That's a chance. The other thing is, you know, that's the other thing. It's so horrible to have to sit, you know, as a manager and think of all the devotees in the temple and which ones you think might be the ones that are actually stealing, you know. That's really a ghastly exercise to put somebody through. You know, nobody likes doing it. It's really horrible. But the likelihood that somebody, usually when somebody comes from the outside, they just, you know, and that's happened before too. You know, the hinges are ripped off and, you know, glass is smashed or the whole donation box is gone. That's happened also. Somebody comes from the outside. But we have actually, since we discovered this, usually been more careful about making sure that everything is locked up. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, that's what we also are doing until we can get it fixed. Anything else about that particular nasty topic? I'm sorry I had to bring it up, but I thought, you know, just everybody should be alert about this, and maybe there's somebody in this temple that's doing it. Maybe they should kindly stop. Of course, we'll fix the boxes. You know, that's the ultimate thing. I mean, Prabhupada, you know, once said that they wanted to put real jewels on the deities. He said, not to do it, you'll just turn the devotees into thieves. He didn't mean outsiders, you know. So I said it is Kali Yuga, you know, and we don't want to necessarily tempt anybody. So, you know, we'll put some device on there, so if anybody, you know, sticks their hand in there, little teeth will come out and grab them or whatever. Or maybe we can dust the money with that powder that shows up in ultraviolet light and put everybody's hands under it, you know. I hate doing stuff like that, but anyway, sometimes it happens. It's a shame. So just the example of, you know, how things go. That's a particularly gruesome instance. Okay. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai.